She's winding up. She's getting to second, but Pride of Jenny at the 200. My goodness, 15 in front. Declan Bates goes for the whip, riding a ride out. There's no need. This is a demolition job. Pride of Jenny in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. My, oh, my.
G'day, punters. Welcome back to the Triple J Racing Weekly Podcast. It's been quite some time since I got on air here with my mate, Bryce Parker. Bryce, how you going, mate, from up in Queensland there?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Lovely to be back after a long break. We haven't avoided the wet up here. It's been raining a little bit, but I think last time we spoke, we were trying to swerve wet tracks, and, mate, nothing's changed. It's raining around Australia everywhere the last few weeks. Countless meetings getting called off. So we'll try and steer you guys into some winners this weekend, which I assume both main tracks will be at least in the soft range.
Yeah, we're actually first up off a very long break, mate. The last time we had a podcast was October 2022. So they say time flies when you're having fun. And I must say, I've been having a bit of a tricky time recently picking winners with all these wet tracks. And I think I've been getting a little bit too concerned on trying to work out the track bias and track patterns and things like that. And it's been very hard. So how have your results been going, mate? You're still doing a bit of form for Back of Winter Oz, and yeah, how's it all going?
Yeah, going really good. Great team up there, and yeah, we got daily selection still. It is that time of year where there's not a whole lot of big races, so you've got a few sort of roughies popping up and mixed form lines, as you said, trying to work out track pattern on a day where I still never forget that Moonee Valley day where it taught me a lesson about track pattern. I think every single runner led. There was a $43, I think it was a hurdler, got to the front and it led and it just won. And I thought, I've never seen anything like it, mate. It was 3 or 4 years ago. And dead set, 10 out of 10 things won that day in the absolute bog. So I know what you mean with track pattern. You can get stuck thinking you like something and all of a sudden on the day, you've picked something that'll come off the speed and you don't see anything make any ground. You go, oh, no. So, yeah, it's a mix of getting prepared, isn't it? And it's a mix of also biding your time when you're doing tipping, isn't it?
I've just found over the last couple of weeks in Sydney there, it's probably been the one time where I've really actually gone back and watched the race prior that many times before the next race. You know, you watch races one and two and then race two's finished and I'll go back and watch the replay of race two about twice or three times before I even think about what I'm doing in the next race because I'm trying to overanalyze things. So I'm trying to go back to the basics now and, you know, back on this podcast, we can talk about a couple of horses we like and things like that and not overcomplicate things because, you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to find the best horses in the race and the best horses and mapping and things like that and go from there. But one horse that really caught my eye on the weekend, mate, was Berkshire Breeze down in Melbourne. I thought it was a really, really good performance. And, you know, the name probably sort of suggested how the performance went. It was an absolute breeze for the horse on the weekend. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on Berkshire Breeze heading into the Melbourne Cup. Is that horse on your radar?
Yeah, I think it has to be, mate. I mean, we know Kieran Mayers with his stayers. I've said it many times. The guy's a freak. He's as good as they get in terms of stayers. His record over those kinds of races is unreal. He's got a progressive one here, sent into $1.28 and just never, ever looked like losing. So he looked like England in the Euros, never looking like losing. So it was cantering, mate, and you won't see an easier win. And I'm still not too sure with the form lines. I thought Quantum Cat was a really progressive stayer, got close to it. And there's a few of them that haven't done a whole lot since, but they don't win any easier than that. So I guess we'll see if the form stands up. I mean, you got Taramansour in second. So yeah, well, time will tell. It needs a very stiffer race before we get too carried away. But from what you see, that 4.75 length win probably could have been 10. What did you think, mate?
I thought the same as you, mate, and I think that the horse has the right profile. You know, you got to be a really talented stayer with a touch of class about yourself. And obviously, this horse has 5 wins and 7 placings from 15 starts, and obviously all of those wins are 2,000 meters plus. So you know, there's a lot of lot of good quality about that. And it was more just the way the horse won on the weekend. You knew on the corner that horse was just cruising to victory on Saturday. And obviously, gonna have to rise to a new level and keep going forward, but in the right camp there with Kieran Maher and Co. And I think I should have backed the horse on Saturday morning for the Melbourne Cup instead of Saturday afternoon. But that's just goes to show how poor my punting's been going lately. But yeah, certainly Berkshire Breeze is definitely on my radar for the Melbourne Cup.
Absolutely, mate. And speaking of on the radar, Triple J Racing, as I've been seeing plenty on my feed, mate. You've had a lot of open days, a stack of runners. Oh, since we last spoke, I'm sure you would have at least tripled the stable, probably more. Run us through, mate, what's been happening lately with Triple J Racing? It's really taken off.
Yeah, things are going really well for us down here at Kembla Grange. Me and my good mate Benny, we've been trying to sort of build a team with a little bit more quality over the last couple of months, and we feel like we've certainly done that. We purchased two nice yearlings at the Magic Million sale on the Gold Coast in January, Colt by Zusane and also Graf Filly, and just recently we bought a couple of younger horses with a bit of exposed form. A horse called Butterfly Style, who's ran third down in there in Melbourne at Geelong, and a little filly called Sunrise from New Zealand at the Broodmare sale. They're both 2-year-olds to look out for. And we also had a nice horse yesterday debut at Warwick Farm called Mackenzie, but obviously things didn't go right for him yesterday. But he was backed in from sort of $16 to four, and that's based on the work that he's been doing at home. But he got a little bit anxious out of the gates there and held his breath and did a couple of things wrong. But he's one that'll be winning races soon. But yeah, had a really nice open day recently. We've got a lot of good owners on board and really enjoying the journey. And we've got a very exciting weekend ahead as well. So yeah, it's all looking pretty good, mate. So pretty pumped up about that. And looking ahead of the weekend, you've got one for us tomorrow at Geelong if we get straight into it. Friday, race one, it's a 1430-meter maiden for 2-year-olds. Which horse do you like there, mate?
Yeah, I originally wouldn't have gone with this, but the reason why I think it's going to run a bold race here is they've put it, its debut run was excellent. It ran 0.4 lengths off them, but super green in the straight. And you can see multiple times Mickey D, not going to roast him this year. Mickey D was straightening him up a few times and he ended up sort of just hitting the line hard. And I thought, geez, off that. If this comes up in trip, it's going to be a really nice sort of 1400 meter horse. Took on Heiasugi in lost by 12 lengths. Obviously, it was a very steep race and then tipped out. Barrier 16 here, so they'll ride it cold, give it plenty of time to find its ground. But its debut was 1,000. Now it's at 1430. So straight away they've gone, look, this is going to be better over a longer trip. I really just thought it showed a stack of potential in its first run. It's pretty handy race. The favourites was good on debut when easily when beaten as a really short price favorite, and a couple of these are first up or on debut. But I reckon, mate, this it's 10 into 850. I reckon this will come into four or fives race day if it's ready to go, and a little bit of luck from 16. This would be smoking to the line, and it might even want a bit further than this. But yeah, I was super impressed off its debut, mate. And if they put it in a race against Heiasugi at start number two, then it's obviously got ability. So I think that can run really well to kick off the weekend.
Well, I like it, mate. I like it when you get up and about for one early, and hopefully, that Friday race one at Geelong can fill the kit bag for punters, and we can have a bit more fun on Saturday there. Looking ahead to Saturday, Randwick, the track at the moment is still in the heavy range, but I think the weather's looking quite good for the weekend, and I think the interesting thing for the race meeting on Saturday, we've got a drying track for, well, it feels like an eternity ago we were even on a soft track. So if we can get back onto the soft track range and the rail being at 9 meters, just before we get into a couple of runners and maybe discuss the three Triple J Racing runners we've got running around on the weekend. Have you got any opinion of this Randwick track on the weekend?
Yeah, a bit of a roll of the dice. I always do think in a day where it's going to be sort of heavy-ish, they'll try and fan wide, but I still lean to things that are just going to be on speed. I still believe that if it's heavy, if it's super heavy, they'll fan wide, find the best part of the track, and you can find things running on. But I still reckon you want things on speed early on in the day, just to take that risk out of it, because I feel like there's more chance you're going to want to be on speed than off speed. Towards the end of the day, if you've got a back marker and they're coming sort of Nash thinking over areas, then you'd be licking your lips thinking I'm a massive chance here. But if they just stick to the rails, sometimes it's just a monorail, as we know. So I always think these days, mate, on pace is always better. But if they're running on, then anything's a chance. And sometimes I like watching those days, mate, where anything can run on. You see them fan off the track, and it's almost like they're racing at Ascot, isn't it? I mean, they got with the big long straight in the UK. I love seeing every horse get its chance. So yeah, I'm not too sure, mate, but I'm thinking on pace to kick off the day, they might fan wide. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I had the same sort of opinion. I wanted to go in there with an open mind. And I also thought that the track played really, really well last week again. I thought, obviously with the amount of rain we've had, I thought they'd be coming miles off the fence last week. And they certainly weren't. I thought it was certainly fair enough last weekend. And obviously with the rail at 9 metres, you're getting towards the crown of the track, which, if that sort of 9 metre rail is put in the right position and it's a drying track, I think on pace will be no disadvantage. But Randwick is a track that generally every horse will get their chance, and they have been coming off the fence. So certainly giving every horse their opportunity when I did the form for that meeting anyway on Saturday. And as I just mentioned before, I just think these days with this podcast now, with us, our Triple J Racing syndication having a fair few runners, I just wanted to go through runners that we have coming up on the weekend. So I'll just run through those runners now. Obviously, we've got Rajnish in the Highway in race 3. I know you love your Tab Highways, mate. You've tipped plenty of those winners in the past. Have you done any form for the Highway this week? And what are your thoughts on Rajnish?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I gave it a good chance in this. I like its form. I think it's going to run really well. I like that form around the Dramatist a couple runs back, because that won nicely the other day. So yeah, I think that'll run really well, mate. I think Field the Moment will also run well. 2 wins out of 22 starts, so it takes its turn to win, but second of toes in the water and drops weight. Both of those, and $2.20 it was in a similar race to this. So I'd happily back both of those. I reckon Cranky Harry, everyone gets up and about a best bet for the weekend, but I don't know, on a heavy track first up, was a good thing beat, but when everyone gets around a good thing, I don't think it's a good thing. So, mate, I reckon yours, and I'll be going yours, and I'll be going Field the Moment. I reckon they're two really good value runners. Cranky Harry, wet deck, wide track, wide draw, sorry. Could be risky.
I like it, mate. Well, my thoughts on Rajnish, he had a bit of a funny start of the preparation where he raced on that absolute bog track at Newcastle first up, and he actually didn't really let down on it and didn't really extend, so he came back in and it was almost like he didn't have a run, like in terms of his airways he was really fresh. So Cameron opted to back him up about 11 days later, and that day was the day he got beat by the Dramatist, and obviously since then he had a good race there on the home track and had that wide Rose Hill run where he was beaten by a couple of smart ones. That was again on a heavy truck and he was wide the trip, so that was a really good performance. And this week we're obviously he's really well suited by the compressed weight scale. It's obviously a set weight highway, so Cranky Harry's obviously the clear highest rated horse in the race, and Rajnish is the second rated horse in the race on 73, so gets in there with 59 kilos. I'm very, very happy with the barrier draw of 5 for this horse. He'll roll forward. He'll get a good position. He's rock hard fit now and ready for the mile. We went to Dubbo last start with a bit of confidence, but, we were looking at a soft track the night before, and then they picked up the 20 mils overnight. So he was a month between runs onto the heavy. I'd certainly recommend an each-way bet Rajnish on Saturday in the Highway. I think he's, his main danger is Cranky Harry, but I'll be disappointed if he's not running in the top 3, and I think he's a red-hot chance. Our other two runners on Saturday, we've got Verbeck. Me and you were just talking about him because you're a good mate, and one of your favourite jockeys, Dylan Gibbons, has been giving him a couple of peaches over his last two starts. I think he's the right price on Saturday, $20 and $5.50 a place. Reason being, obviously, he's got to jump up in company now in grade. He's had two pillar-to-post wins in Benchmark 64 company. And I think the good thing is Dylan's been just rolling him forward and letting him control the race. It doesn't always pan out that way. You can't always get the lead, but Quade Crowe will be watching those two replays and certainly trying to do the same thing on Saturday. Confidence is the funny thing in racing, and with that 9 meter rail, if he does find the front and keep running like he has been, I think he'll be every chance. And our other runner is just in race five, Associate. He was also accepted in the Tab Highway as well, but we've just been finding with him, and Danielle Seib and the team have been doing a great job with him, but he's a horse that's probably been crying out for the 1800 plus for quite some time now, and being a sort of a really big, gangly, long striding horse, those tab highways that are full of 20 runners probably aren't perfect for him. So he stepped right up in grade again, benchmark 78, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him very, very strong at the end of that. And I think that he's certainly worth an each way ticket. It's a 3 and 4 year old 78. It's not an open 78. And he drops significantly in weight. Tyler Schiller rides him, who knows him well. And, like I said, look out for him late. And there's an 1800 meter highway for him in a fortnight that'll be just perfect. So, have you got any opinion of Associate there, mate?
Yeah, I was on it when it won a few starts back, and you're right. I was really taken back by how big its stride was. It was just galloping like it took one step for every four for every other run. I was like, geez. And it sort of looked beaten, and then it just really kind of came back and won quite well in the end from a wide draw. So I was quite taken by that. I haven't seen I saw its first up run, but I didn't see the last start run. But I do think that toes in the water form's pretty good. And if you think a more spacious, smaller field's going to be good for it, then I don't see why it doesn't run well. I mean, I did like, I thought the favorite was, hard enough to beat coming off this behind a progressive stayer. But yeah, 245, 61 kilos. It's hard enough to beat, but 370 about Associate. I see your case, mate. I reckon it's been really nicely back too. It was 34s, so yeah, being specced, mate.
Yeah, like I said, Danielle and the team do a great job with him. And last preparation, it wasn't really by design to keep him at the 1400, but he ended up qualifying for the country championships final, which was 1400. So he sort of stayed around that trip, even though he was crying out for more. So anyway, I'm really excited for all the owners in all three of those horses on the weekend, and looking forward to being up there and having a couple of beers with everyone. We'll just roll through our tips now, mate. We'll go through. Obviously, we're looking at a handful of races at Randwick. We've got a few out there at Newcastle for punters, and one or two there at Caulfield as well. So, I'll start us off in the first race. I really like this Schnitzel colt called Wanarua. I know he's really short. He's only $2.15, but he took a really strong trial win out to Canterbury and won in really nice style. I know it's a Canterbury win, and now he's obviously stepping out back onto the Randwick track, which is a much bigger track, and going right out in trip. But the wind was very good to the eye. That was backed up by the clock. He had the second fastest last 200 of the race, which was just behind the runner-up who was chasing him down. So, when you're burning the candle in the front half of the race and you've still got plenty of fuel at the end, I think a lot of that was done on natural ability. And I just thought it was a very good read, and I just loved everything I saw out of that performance. And obviously, we're talking race one with a 9 meter rail, Gay Waterhouse, 2 year old. There's a lot to like there, and I'm going to take the $2.20. The only other horse I sort of liked in the race, and I've backed it its last two starts along with me business partner Benny, and the horse has ran 2 seconds in a row, Sacred Fort. I think the horse has been absolutely luckless and has a lot of ability. So I might sort of back that Waterhouse runner and have a bit of a saver on Sacred Fort. Did you have any opinion of that race?
Nah, it's a good case you make. How good's the stable been the last 12 months? Unbelievable. So yeah, really good case you made, mate. And yeah, couldn't have been any better on debut. Hey, we know it'll handle the conditions, so very hard to beat.
Yeah, and I know the stable have got a really big opinion of the horse too. So look, we're not getting much value there, but if that horse can win the first, I'll be a happy man. The next race I wanted to look at was race four, which is the Midway. Obviously, I'm going to be there with my blue hat on, cheering home Verbeck, who hopefully will be out in front on the speed. But I've got a really big opinion of this horse for Les Bridge, Charming Legend. Only having its second start, but I thought on debut there at Randwick, he ran the fastest last 200 of the meeting, and the wind just screamed natural ability. The runner up, Jawaharlal Dubai, won the race there at Hawkesbury today, but Obviously lost out in a bit of a protest there. Price Racing got up over the line. It was definitely a fair process, but that horse has sort of been pretty consistent, placing 6 out of 8 races and been ever present in those super maiden races. So I just love what I saw from that Charming Legend. I think the mile looks perfect. Again, talking stride length, the stride length at the end of that maiden win there for Charming Legend was very, very good. And we know how good of a trainer Les Bridge is, and the horse is getting onto a bigger track, getting more tempo in the race. I think Charming Legend's a very good bet on the weekend, and the perfect thing for me is I'll be able to have a saver on me little mate Verbeck. So yeah, did you have any opinion of the midway, mate?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It looked gone on debut. Looked absolutely gone for all money halfway up the straight, and it ended up winning soft. Yeah, I couldn't have picked it. If your phone was lagging and you cut back into the race, you would have never believed it. I was impressed, mate. I'm right there with you. I think ticks off the wet track, super progressive, more race experience now because it didn't know it was on a racetrack. And yeah, the runner up, I did watch that protest today, so. Yeah, one by 1.8 lengths in the end. That's unbelievable. It looked like it was going to lose by 7. So I'm right there with you, mate. And yeah, like you said, Verbeck to set the speed and should run a good race as well. So yeah, couldn't agree more. That looks very hard to beat at $4.
I must admit, it's actually quite a strong midway this week. Sometimes you see these races pop up and you just think, oh, I wish one or two of my runners was racing in this one. But this one on Saturday is a very strong addition of the midway. Race 6, mate, is a 1400 meter benchmark 78, and I think you've got one for listeners here.
Yeah, it's 3 from 27, so it doesn't win out of turn, but I did win on it one day at decent odds. No, I have a bit of a soft spot for it, but cross the Rubicon, it's out to $18 now. It's really hard to catch. I tipped it fresh. It was super. Ran really well behind Able Willie and Pure Alpha, which is very strong form for this. And then it just didn't do anything on a heavy track second up. It was slow out. And but mate, if you get a chance to go watch its last start replay, it missed a start by 4.5 lengths. It actually lost by 2.5 lengths. And in the straight, it was looming up like it was going to beat half this field. It actually really looked like it was going to win. It tried to find a gap. They bridged the gap on it. And you know when they just look like they're really about to be in the finish, it was trucking. Then it just kind of had to skid out in the end in limited room, but it lost by 2.5 lengths to Anna Ghent, who's $8 in this, and it missed the start by 4.5. So realistically speaking, it could have been held up, jumped clean, and still beaten Anna Ghent. And out of that race was Zuforia, who's favourite. So mixes its form, absolutely. It's rocks or it's diamonds with Cross the Rubicon. But if it brings that run, mate, and it jumps clean, well, it probably wins this. And keep in mind, it was held up for a good 150, 200 metres. So $18 is verging on a really good bet, but two starts back it ran absolutely trash. So I'm hoping it just holds its form. And if it does, I'm pretty confident that can win this.
I really struggle with that race, mate. So I'm not surprised that you've come up with one at a little bit of value there, because it's one of them races. And again, I backed down again a couple of starts in a row. Then you jump off, the horse comes out and bolts in. African Daisy is one that I've backed numerous times and always seems to be there, but just doesn't get that last 50 meters, and things like that. But yeah, I think when you got a $5 favorite in a market like that, and you find one you like, I certainly think it's a good idea to have a crack. So cross the Rubicon for Brycey there in race 6.
Yeah, sorry, mate. Just go when you get a chance, go watch that replay because it's actually very impressive. I couldn't believe from how much it missed the jump and the run it had in the straight, how it still got so close to 4 or 5 of these in this race. I'm really shocked it's not closer to Zuforia, who did have its chance.
Yeah, and as we spoke about with these tracks recently, if you can find one there that you think there was a bit of a hidden run or something went wrong the race prior, and you get a lot of value out of it for the next start, that's when you jump on. So I like it, mate. I like it. Race 7. This is also a benchmark 78 over the mile, and you've got another one here for us.
Yeah, I'm just still curious to sort of see what conditions we're dealing with on the day. But I did really like what Space Age did last start. Was seeing a bit of form out of the race. It won by just under 3 lengths in a BM 72 on a heavy deck, but it just won so easily. I just think Progressive Stayer, again, Kieran Mayer, and it'll carry 56 kilos, so it drops weight for the rising grade. And looking off form, favourite's not really proven on the heavy. Ha Ha Ha's going okay. Comes out of the race we just spoke about. I reckon this is a good bet, mate. I think this will run really well. It's an open field. Little Pumper and Nana's Wish going well. Sailor was second behind my pick. But, yeah, I thought that was a super progressive win last start. And up to 1,600. Oh, sorry, stays at 1,600. But, yeah, just heavy deck again. I reckon this can win again, mate. I think this is that's a good bet.
I like it, mate. I am certainly out of that race for the time being. I've got to do a lot more work there to find a winner in that race. And I think the remaining races on the card are very open as well. So really looking forward to that. We're going to head down to Caulfield now and talk about a couple of runners there. Obviously, we're hoping to be in the soft range down there as well over the weekend. I'm very certain, man, you have spoken about this horse in the past, mate. Horse called Sandpaper in race two. Now, I think the horse is going much better than the odds suggest here. And I think that obviously they've gone down to Melbourne to try and get away from these wet tracks up here. And obviously Damian Lane goes aboard now. Barrier five. He is a horse who, you know, generally takes a couple of runs under the belt to get there perfect fitness-wise. And I just think the horse gets a lovely run in transit here. And for mine, this looks a slight drop in grade. And, you know, we're getting really good odds. So I'll certainly give Sandpaper a huge opportunity here at $18.480 with an each-way play. And I'm just wondering if you've got the same opinion.
I haven't actually done a whole lot to do with this race, mate. But, it's a good horse on its day. Look here at this field. It's best to definitely give this a shake. And look at its SPs. Last prep, you've got 440, 320. It's always really well in the market. All of a sudden, $16 here. And out of a BM 84. All its dry form's excellent. And Doomben just behind a Katarina. Hawaii 5-0, only four lengths off that. I mean, if that brings that run, mate, it's all over Red Rover in this field, isn't it? And 2.5 off Redina. So you're definitely onto something there. I think that's a big price.
Yeah, and I think the first start run, obviously the horse doesn't really handle those wet tracks. And I know you're talking a fair few lengths, 5-6 lengths off Elson Boy and Tested Horse Salens, but those two horses handle the wet track and they're going well. And Barrakeel there at Caulfield last start. So I like the form there. And Damian Lane's in really good and really, really good order again. He's one of them jockeys you can jump on at the moment with a lot of confidence. So the other runner down there in Melbourne I wanted to talk about, mate, was race four, 2,000-metre, three-year-old handicap. Chris Waller trained Methusalem. I must admit, I sent him out to followers of my Telegram page there second up when he was over the mile again. And, you know, he got beat quite convincingly, which sort of frustrated me a little bit. But now you're looking at it third up out to the 2,000 metres, sharply gets up in trip. And I think that Craig Rise at Dawn form is very strong at the moment. Obviously, that pair, Quinella 2 mile races before Rise at Dawn was again narrowly beaten on the line in the Silver Bowl final last start as well. So, you know, they're very consistent form lines. And I'm very convinced that this is a dropping grade. I know it's the same sort of level race, three-year-old handicap, but for mine, there's not as much quality in this race. So when the horse is peaking third up, out in trip to the 2,000, Damian Lane goes aboard now. I think it's a really good play at the $7.50 and $2.50. Did you have any thoughts there?
Nah, I stuck out of this one, mate, but I'll definitely be having something on now that you've said it.
All right, mate, we're going to head to Newcastle now. We're running out of a little bit of time here, but I know that you were keen on a race or two in Newcastle. So which race was that you were keen on again?
Newcastle, it would be... Oh, I'll have to have
race
a quick
six,
browse,
race
mate.
Six it was. Race six.
Oh, Tishgard, the favourite here. Bit of a 900-metre specialist. It's likes this trip, just straight out the gate, straight to the front, I reckon. Last start was quite good. But, yeah, I just reckon it can run these into the ground with the soft weight and just the best horse in the race, in my opinion. Stacks the upside. Sabuku was a huge plunge last start. Was win number two for it. I think it was 20s in a three or something. They just knew. Won by three lengths. So, you know, it's $6 now. Whether it can back that up, it could be the danger. But, you wouldn't, it doesn't win out of 10, whereas you've got Utyshka, who's 3 from 10 and has only missed the placings twice from 10 goes in its career. So, yeah, mate, straight to the front, in with the claimer. I think that's going to be really hard to beat as long as Newcastle's sort of playing on speed. I know that they can run on there, but I think that'll run a good race.
Oh, I like it. And I got one there in race two for punters, which is a 2-year-old race there at Newcastle, maiden handicap. I'm really keen on the Peter and Paul Snowden train, Cash and Cards. This is obviously purely out of the trials. It's a horse having its debut. It's a $240,000 Ridden Tycoon colt. And I really liked actually two horses out of the same trial. I was looking at Idle Flyer, which was a done deal filly in the same trial, and then they both sort of went really well. But when I went through Cash and Cards for trials, I think there's certainly something there. The horse hasn't been asked for an effort in those early trials, and that was around some really, really nice horses. And obviously, the last trial they went out to the 1,050, and then the horse was asked for a little bit of effort, but he did put him away when he was asked, and I think that that's a really good read in regards to now heading to the races off that, confidence boosting trial win where the stable have probably, just tried to switch him on. But again, in trials, it's more about what you see with your eye. And I really like what I saw and Barrier 2 for a horse who likes to roll forward. Helter Pay is the favourite, and he did run third to Wanarua, who's the horse I tipped up in the first race there at Randwick. So I really should be liking that form line, but I think that, that horse might be a little bit sort of a little bit undervalued and sort of short in the market based on the fact that Wanneroo's got so much support. I mean, he was beaten convincingly. He's Canterbury to Newcastle now. He's Barrier 9. I don't really like the setup at all for Hell to Pay. So I was keen to be with Cash and Cards and really looking forward to seeing how that horse goes on the weekend.
Absolutely, mate. I'll definitely keep an eye on it.
Beautiful, mate. Well, we're running out of time here, but I must say, for us. Us two fellas here, first up off a lengthy break, absolutely no preparation and a disastrous lead in. Even me cup of tea has been cold for about half an hour, so we basically had a shocker there for a first day out. But at the end of the day, doesn't matter how good the production is and how much smack we talk, as long as we tip winners. So hopefully we have done that, and I appreciate you jumping on here, mate. So just to recap, what's your best bet for the weekend if you've got one?
Yeah, cheers, mate. It's great to be back, and hopefully we can kick things into gear with a few winners. Good confidence booster with the Waterhouse one to start with. I think cross the Rubicon, mate. I think it's hit and miss, but if it runs to its last start run, it's huge odds. It just needs to jump a bit cleaner, but I'm really keen on that. And I agree with you with the Waterhouse in the first in Sydney. That looks very hard to beat. I won't say a good thing, not first podcast back, but it looks hard to beat.
Yeah, mate, fingers crossed. I'm going to go with that as my best bet for the weekend. Wanarua, the Schnitzel colt. I just think he's got a lot of ability, and I think he's suited getting out of the 1400. So, as I said, good luck to everyone on the weekend having a punt, and good luck to all the Triple J racing owners on Saturday with our three runners. Really excited for a big day, and those three horses are trained by a lot of great people, and it's going to be a fantastic day. So, thanks a lot, Bryce, and it's great to be back. And we'll obviously improve our production quality as we go on. But yeah, looking forward to being back. And cheers, mate. Thanks again.
Cheers.